Podcast. This is episode 44. My name is Joe.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Drip.
He's accepted it. Finally.
I like it. I've always liked it.
Always mode.
So no Chad today. I think this is the first episode that Chad's missed since we started.
That makes me feel really bad about myself because I've missed probably half of them.
I don't know about half.
No, it's not half.
10. There was a run for a while. I'm not in it anymore. You guys are stupid. But I'm back.
Just gonna get beer with the
nurse. I missed 4 episodes. Listened to them. Was so sad I wasn't a part of it. And I'm like, guys, I'm sorry.
I think there's only been probably like 15 minutes where I wasn't on it, and it was that one show we did, and my brother and I had to leave.
Oh, you had to leave?
Yeah.
And we fell apart as soon as you were gone. We're like, whoa.
What else did you play?
That's cool. Well, tell me about that game.
I haven't been playing many games, actually. I just got satellite, so it's like I'm just constantly watching movies and whatever's on satellite. I rewatched The Hobbit. I have to apologize for being so hard on that movie.
Don't tell me you enjoyed it.
No, I didn't. I don't want to go ahead and say, like, it's great or, you know, I'm not on Chad level here. But it doesn't deserve what we've been doing to it.
It's only been me and you've just been agreeing with me. I fucking hate that movie.
It sounds about right. It falls apart. I mean, it's long, right? And you get a lot of good moments in the movie. So, I mean, if you add those good moments up, you got, like, an hour of decent movie. But and watch it alone. Definitely don't watch it with friends because, like, all the holes just
just tease it. As soon
bullet
as it
holes, just scattered through that movie. But it's not as bad as we've been saying.
I still give it a 0 out of 5 stars.
I also watched Zero Dark Thirty. Oh, have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Zero Dark Shitty.
Really?
This movie, it is bad. I saw it in the theaters.
It's one of those movies that got rated really well. Yeah, it's just utter shit.
I didn't. Please tell me you didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it. It was almost as if they took like a manifest, and then turned that. I think manifest is the right word. Just like a wiki of the events, and that was the script. Literally, it would jump scene to scene, just like, oh, there was a meeting that we had record of, and this is what they discussed, it's not very colorful, like in the figuratively, it's not very colorful. It's really just dry, like, and this happened at this day, and then this happened on these days.
And so they don't try to polish it and, like, change it and make it, like, rise and fall or anything?
No, there's...
The woman in that movie drove me nuts.
Jessica Chastain?
I couldn't stand her.
I have a thing for her.
Oh, so you liked it.
Have you ever seen, Tree of Life?
No, I've heard good things, though.
She's really good in that.
Is that the one with, Jackson?
It's Hugh Jackman? Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is Tree of Life. You're thinking of Fountain.
Fountain of Life?
No, it's called The Fountain.
Oh, The Fountain, you're right.
Is it?
The little bubble? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're right, it's The Fountain.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
So what's the name of Jackson?
No, I like her in Tree of Life. But besides the point, Zero Dark Thirty, yeah, it's
no good.
It's really dry. Like, there's have you ever seen Contagion?
Yeah, didn't like
that. Where it's more like an account of the events.
Yeah,
and it's not such a narrative. It's just more here's some footage of what might have happened or what it would be like.
That was another
but
movie
the final raid was pretty cool.
It wasn't.
I liked it.
I thought it was
awesome how the same trick works twice in that final raid, where TJ they're in the dark and they can see people running by,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just like they know the names of the people in the house.
Okay,
so they just start whispering the name and like. Spoiler alert, so Osama bin Laden in one of the rooms, and they're just standing there, like, they see this guy run by, and they're like, Osama! Osama! And they let it, like, they just let it pause, and then, Osama! And then sure enough, a head pokes around, just boom, 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 like,
done.
Rapid fire, yeah, like, 3 into the skull, and I thought that was cool, and the same trick works twice. It's weird, because you never think that would be, like, military tactic. just whisper the guy's name, and he'll come walking back out.
Like pretending to be on your team in a sport.
Yeah, and it was less propaganda-ish. Like, the Americans weren't always, you know, superheroes. Mm-hmm. It was told in a really honest way, I think.
The torturing and stuff?
Well, not so much the torturing. Just, like, the fact that, you know, they made it clear that, you know, one of the guys gets taken down, and the wife, like, jumps on the body and, like, starts reaching for the gun, and then they just take the wife out, too. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, okay, clear. Yeah. And, you know, there was a point where they kind of backpedal from that a little bit. The guy's like, oh, is she gonna go? Is she gonna make it? No, she'll bleed out. It's like, oh, they're still concerned because they're American. You know, they don't want to hurt anybody.
Not to mention, I'm sure there's plenty of circumstances where they just shoot her anyways without her going for the gun, right? So technically, they're just making it seem like it's raw and real, and they're not always superheroes. But
I would feel pretty bad shooting someone, like especially a woman.
I wouldn't have it in me. Actually, my my grandfather. That's why he tried to flee the Italy during the war. During I think the Second World War. He just didn't understand, like, he knew that if it came to a standoff, that he wouldn't pull the trigger. So he tried, like, all kinds of shit to get, like, out of the war. I guess he tried, like, smoking, like, packs and packs and packs of cigarettes every day, because it'll just make him sick, and then he'll fail the physical. Yeah. And, you know, I never heard the actual story. He got really talkative, like, the last, like, year of his life. He started telling stories, but they were mixed Italian and English. So it was difficult to kind of comprehend what he was, like, the story that he was actually telling you.
Yeah.
I think he ended up being a chef.
Good.
In the,
couldn't be as nice, nicer than that, right?
I have one photograph of him in Army Fatigues. Or is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one photograph. Huh. I want to get it framed. It's just this tiny little thing, man. Awesome.
Still awesome from, like, the 40s.
Yeah. But they got out of there. Good for them. Right. Huh. So Zero Dark Thirty, I would say it's probably a 2.5 for me.
That's high.
No, I mean, it was interesting, and it was well made.
I don't even think it's worth
it. I think they made the movie they wanted to make. It's just, you know, it's 2.5. Simple as that.
Cool. I saw Oblivion recently.
Ooh. How was that? Because it looks interesting. Like,
yeah, it was okay. It was okay.
I've never heard a good thing ever.
Honestly, the first half of the movie, I'm trying to guess what's going to happen, and I'm like, I'm watching Moon with Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Storyline-wise. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, and, I was like, okay, there's going to be clones, and then there's clones.
Spoilers. Many holes.
Oh, yeah.
Many holes?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just okay. Like, it, because of the holes, it kind of ruined it. At the end, I'm thinking, like, some certain things didn't make sense, and it had a nice feel to it. Like, it was kind of like that quiet mellow. There's only a few actors in the whole entire film, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like that whole discovery, Tom Cruise, like, what's going on? And it unfolded, like, in a way that was interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. But then when I was done with it, I was just like, okay, storyline-wise, not the most original. Just a little twist on Moon, I guess, to a certain extent. And then
I think the character that had the most weight in that movie was the redhead. The woman. Tom Cruise's, our ineffective team, his teammate.
Yeah.
She was the most interesting part of the movie, I thought.
I don't know. I like Tom Cruise, like, it's told from his perspective, and that's why the movie works, and that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
Like, he can't go into the other zones because it's radiated, and then that ends up being because they, you know, he was the clone, and...
Yeah. There was no, like, what makes his clones more significant than any of the other ones? Why was the wife there for him, you know, and why was the wife even there at all? It just made no sense.
Well, the two of them were captured, right? And they weren't husband and wife at the time. They were just two astronauts or whatever captured in the front of a ship, piloting a ship. So they said, these are the two people we have to work with to clone. They cloned them, and I think they built a relationship over 5 years, because whatever the term was, right?
But why? Okay, so now they've developed this whole clone ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
and they're working on Earth. But... In the time that you're in the movie, you see the event of the escape pods getting jettisoned. And then one of the pods happens to have his wife.
His wife was in the same ship, yeah, that was, they're all frozen. And to save them, they send them off, jettisoned in that little pod, right? What I don't understand is how Morgan Freeman sent coordinates up to that pod and had it come down to Earth. Apparently it was floating around there.
So were the pods just...
For 60 years or whatever.
I don't understand it.
Maybe the pods were part of a team that he was frozen during, like, they were all frozen during a space mission of some sort. which just kind of has holes in itself considering the space mission was just outside of Earth's atmosphere. You know, and why they frozen already. But that aside, like, they just got sent out into space such that they could be floating there, such that Morgan Freeman could call them down and have Tom Cruise recall that memory and all that shit. That was kind of, again, weak storyline-wise, but yeah. That's what I understood it to be.
It looked really good, though. And the sound the sound design was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The sound of the those orbs, those little killer orbs that float around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Tom Cruise's job is to
they're giant
do orbs. Maintenance of these, what do they call them?
Oh, scouts, maybe?
Scouts, yeah. And they go and they find, like, the resistance and then just kill them. Tom Cruise, whenever one breaks down, Tom Cruise's job is to go fix it.
Yeah, should we explain?
Yeah, like, Moon.
Okay, yeah. We can just ruin it, right? Just kind of quickly.
Yeah, I moved
it
a while ago.
Yeah. Aliens come, capture the ship, clone Tom Cruise, use Tom Cruise, feed him this backstory that aliens have destroyed humans on Earth, mm-hmm. and that he's fighting the aliens, and that they're sucking the power from the Earth to another planet where the humans are. Meanwhile, it's actually the aliens sucking the power from the Earth, and Tom Cruise is fighting humans, doesn't even know it, thinks they're aliens on Earth.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
And that's pretty neat.
It is kind of a cool idea, seeing, I thought.
Seeing Tom Cruise drive across the open plains on that bike in all the trailers, I was interested from that
really?
One clip alone. I was like, that was fucking cool.
You know what sold me was Morgan Freeman with the glasses. I was like, I like the feel of the sci-fi. Just I know it's a ridiculous thing, but that's what I remember when I thought Oblivion. I'm like, what is this movie? Oh, it's got Morgan Freeman with those crazy glasses.
Everybody hated it.
That's a movie that got ruined by reviews for me. It got reviewed early, and it was pretty poor reviews.
I'm just feeling like, skip it.
Yeah. And then I heard good things from Kyle, you know, that's worth. And then I downloaded it.
For whatever that's worth.
Well, the guy, he'll tell you about anything.
And he makes everything
the most recent thing that he's seen, that is the most interesting thing in the whole world.
I could think like Kyle. I really do. Yeah. I would enjoy life so much more.
The guy's messed up.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, in a good way, he's messed up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've watched anything at all.
Do you have a rating for?
Maybe like a 3, maybe 3.5.
Nice.
Probably 3 is appropriate.
3.
I enjoyed it. It's just.
I would put it a little higher than.
You think so?
Than Zero Dark Thirty. So maybe
have you guys
3,
played anything
3 for me?
I haven't seen any movies.
I have another movie I saw, which I'd like to talk about.
Sure, hit it.
Pacific Rim.
Oh really?
Oh. People, you know what? I have not heard anyone say anything bad about this movie at all. It's like, you're going to love it.
I could not believe the ratings it had online, which is not amazing, like 7s and 74% or whatever.
Does it deserve higher?
Oh my God, it's the worst movie ever.
Thank you!
It's so cheesy. The storyline is horrible. It's
a monster movie.
Man,
I haven't seen it.
We could watch that movie, Whiskey Blu-ray, and I have so many things. I was just playing it back in my head. Cheesiest, worst storyline. Like,
but it's
the relationships make no sense.
It's supposed to be.
No.
It's a satire.
No, man. No,
a satire of what?
No,
it's
anime, nice. Fucking zombie or
Godzilla
monsters versus robots.
It's
just the. I thought it was that's why all the characters are so out of whack and they cartoony.
Here's the thing, though: they made it so realistic that it's too realistic to be a joke and like a parody, but it's not realistic enough to be taken seriously. Like, it's in some weird gray zone that I can't accept that. Okay. Like, I seriously, they had a nice backstory in the beginning. And I was like, I was into it. I was like, this is cool. You know, like, you know, the first one came, the second one came, and then they started building robots.
Well,
and then it just got really weird.
I haven't seen Pacific Rim, but I what I know about it, I would think it'd be a lot like Starship Troopers, where,
it's
90210 in space.
Absolutely not. They're not making jokes. They're trying to give, like, a serious storyline with, like, oh, we're in love, and, like, we have relationships that mean something, but they're so based on nothing. Like, you don't... And actually, the black dude, Idris Elba, whatever, we talked about him before.
Yeah.
It's the worst in that. I've never seen him.
Oh, that's who that is. Okay, now I know who he is.
Yeah, he's like...
You know what he was awesome in? The Office. I generally like hated that character. He's probably only got like 6 or 7 episodes.
Yeah.
But he was the villain on that show.
Yeah, he made a good asshole.
He wasn't even an asshole. He was just... He wasn't Michael Scott. And we're so attached to Michael Scott that was a big problem.
Was
for
he
us.
The boss for a little?
He was unbending.
Yeah, he was the boss.
I never watched after Michael Scott was gone, and I was like, done.
No, but it wasn't after he left. It was Michael Scott was still around, but he quit. He quit Dunder Mifflin and started the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Oh man!
And
you can see that.
Yeah, and Stringer came in and was the new boss.
He basically called Michael on all of his shit and just made it that much more awkward.
Yeah. He took like the a real businessman coming in and telling Michael like this is horrible, like, what you're doing. And he just, he was an asshole about it the whole time.
And he's this big, intimidating guy, so Michael's kind of afraid of him, naturally, yeah, you know? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think there's one scene where he tells Michael to leave, and then Michael's like, I'm not leaving. He's like, do you really want to do this? and you can just see Steve Carell, like, fear. You can see the fear in Steve Carell's eyes, and he's like, no, okay, okay, all right, all right.
Oh. Oh, man. Anyway, Pacific Rim, I give it, like, a 1.5.
That bad.
Yeah. I enjoyed the fights. Okay, that was cool, the animations and everything. And the,
punching.
But the storyline was so bad, like, in the characters and the relationships, just horrible.
Well, what is the story in that movie? Like, okay, how do we get more monsters to come out of the ocean?
Okay, but there was this whole thing about, like, there's a bridge between the monster, the aliens, which are not really aliens, they come from Earth, okay? There's aliens in the planet, and they come through this bridge, and we're going to destroy the bridge, and that's going to solve our problems. We're going to lock the aliens, apparently, in the Earth, and, like, that was... And there's more details of it that make no sense whatsoever.
Do they have any, like...
Like, where'd the bridge come from? Could they make another bridge?
Those aliens, do they want anything, or do they just come and start smashing?
They wanted to destroy the Earth to take it over somehow, but we don't know the details of how.
One thing I've heard that is... that separates that from other blockbusters of the past maybe 2 or 3 years is that the fights are sort of set away from the city. You know, like, you're so used to seeing New York City being destroyed.
And now they're in the water. And
yeah, it's like, okay, now the point is to, you know, retain, you know, the boundary and make sure the city doesn't get destroyed. And that adds a little bit of tension because every time a building gets compromised, you're like, oh, no, no, no. You know, because you don't want them to destroy the city.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting... I would think... I wish I had seen it.
Like, sounds interesting.
I'm only reflecting on things that I've heard about the movie.
Basically, I think it was Hong Kong. Maybe it was supposed to be Tokyo because it's Japanese.
Yeah, and they had already...
Was the last battleground, I was going to say.
They had already evacuated the city. So it's not like the Superman complex or even Batman where you're seeing buildings just going down. You're thinking, like, how many people are in those buildings?
Yeah.
And it's just overlooked. You know, Superman... In reflecting on that now, so many people probably died.
Oh, yeah.
In that final assault. And he's so sad. And he's like, and he kills Zod because he's going to just kill
one little family. That's the whole point of the movie where I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That thing comes down and, like, makes a huge crater or whatever it does and destroys
the gravity.
Blocks and blocks and blocks of New York City. Like, hundreds of thousands of people dying. And then Zod wants to kill one family. And Superman's like, no!
You know what? I was really excited for the movie. I really did like the movie.
So many movies do that.
But now, like, the sequel, Ben Affleck's going to be Batman in the sequel to Man of Steel? Like, it doesn't seem... It's like they're fucking up all over again.
You never know, man. He could...
I like Ben Affleck.
I like Ben Affleck, too.
Ben Affleck's doing everything good lately.
No, I'm not saying that. Why is Batman in the Superman sequel?
Because DC wants...
They're just trying to shoehorn in, like, the Marvel thing. Yeah. They had something going. No, Batman was fine as its own isolated story.
Yeah, and it was going to die. Yeah. People would not
do that again with Superman. Why are they ruining?
Like, Superman sucks.
No,
Superman
but they still
sucks. He's the worst. He's too much.
That movie was awesome. It just had problems. Mm-mm. It's not a 5. All right.
It was
that's okay.
It was okay. It's a 3.5.
No, I would give it a 4. Mm-mm. Not as good as Gravity. 4.
Fuck no, Gravity.
What's good about
Gravity's good. Don't spoil it, okay?
What's good about the rating?
Did you listen to the podcast?
No, I didn't because
it's good.
I might not be able to listen to it for a while.
What's good about the rating system, the 5 stars, is now that we're consciously rating movies, it's like you can have a poster, like, example for each rating, and it's like, no, Gravity is my 4.5. Is it better or worse than Gravity? You know, like, so it's not as good as Gravity, but it's better than, you know, a 3.5. So it's a 4 for me. Yeah. Superman is good, man. I like watching it.
Yeah. Is it out yet?
No.
Still not out.
Yeah, again, Dan, I haven't played any games.
All right.
If you want to talk about games for a little bit, we can talk about games.
I'm so excited. GTA 5 online finally worked for me. Finally. Like, I've been trying. I tried forever. I took a day off work one day. I was like, oh, I'm sick. I need to go home.
So, I'm sorry. Describe to me how the GTA 5 online works. Because I had my own ideas of how it
works. Okay, here's what online is. It's a separate game from offline. You're your own character. You, like, when you make your character creation, it's the dumbest thing ever. This is one thing I absolutely hate. You pick what your grandparents look like. and it's like these little squares, and you go through like grandma 1, grandma 2, grandma 3, all the way to like grandma 12, and they're like different ethnicities and skin colors and everything, and then that makes your parents look different, and then that makes you look different.
So that sounds really cool.
But you can't make your character look like what you want.
Yeah.
And you look so stupid. And but then
I hate.
Then you kind of figure it out. You play with it for a while and you're like, hey, I have a white guy, finally. I got a white guy. Here we go. And then it goes into this attribute thing. What like it's like a 24-hour clock. And then you see how many hours a day you spend doing different activities. Sleeping is one of them. So it's a big chunk. And then you've got like legal work and illegal work. Going to the gym, hanging out with friends. Stupid shit, which change your attributes, which would be fine. I don't care. You can build your attributes yourself while you play, because it doesn't make that much of a difference. But it changes the way your character's face looks. Like, if you do illegal stuff, you get, like...
all haggard or something?
You look like you're a crackhead. Your eyes get all dark, and you get, like, nasty skin.
Which is even more disturbing in a third-person game.
Yeah, because you see your character...
Skyrim, constantly. I didn't even really care about my...
Yeah, you're watching, you see your avatar all the time. Every mission... Like, you go into missions and you're a part of a cutscene and your character's walking around with this ugly fucking face. I'm like, dumb.
I think you care too much what you look like.
I want to make a cool-looking guy. My guy looks like Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that is like 90% of all video games is how cool does your fucking character look.
Especially video games that girls like, maybe.
GTA
Online. What are you talking about?
So, okay, to get back on topic, GTA Online.
Check yourself, TJ. How cool your shit looks is 90% of every game.
Gear, maybe...
Yeah, sometimes, honestly, when
you're every playing, sports game, every yeah, fucking driving game is like, how cool is my car? Cool,
yeah, car, but
every
you, I want my avatar to look cool. That's why you go by cool clothes. Right. You're not going to be wearing fucking rags.
Nah, I guess that's
even
true.
Looking cool is what got me into Mass Effect. I was like, if I put this cool uniform on, I make it white, I kind of feel like a stormtrooper or a fucking clone. Yeah. And now I can relate to my character.
So either way, it's really, really difficult to get your character to look cool right off the bat. Like, yeah. It's hard to do. So I fooled around with that for a while, and I wasn't completely sold on GTA until one certain mission, and I'll get into that in a minute because it was like awesome. It, like
okay.
But GTA Online is there's all separate story missions. Sometimes you'll get missions from guys that are in the single player, but it has nothing really to do with the single player story.
How does that work with servers though? Like. You have to pick a server when you start.
When you start, you're just in a random game. Like, you're in the world with, like, 20 people. You'll see little white blips on your map, and that's another character. And they're just doing their own shit while you're doing your shit. Sometimes you see funny, funny things.
Like, you can kill them, obviously.
There's a guy flying around, blowing shit up with a jet. I'm just trying to drive. I'm going around, and just... like, he's shooting missiles at the fucking freeway.
Like, he's having the greatest time of his life, too.
See, for some reason, I thought it'd be more like Warcraft. Where every character is...
No, there's only, like, 16 people, but a lot of people drop out, so you have, like, 10, 12 on average.
Yeah, to me that sounds perfect, is that there'd be... As every single person walking around in this world would be another person. But, you and Tim told me, like, that would be just complete chaos.
People on top of people on top of people. You'd just be shooting. There wouldn't be room.
Like, there was one guy, like, one story. I'm getting a mission where you go to this dude's house and you're having, like, a conversation with him. And I can hear shit outside, like background sound. Like I'm in a cutscene, and this guy's talking to me, doing his thing, and I hear gunshots outside. And I'm like, I parked my car right by. I hear fucking gunshots, which is, attention to detail. That's awesome in itself. Like I'm hearing
that is really cool.
I'm like, someone's fucking with my car outside. So I'm trying to like
the fact that you're in a cutscene is very.
I'm in a house. I'm in a guy's house. You go to his front door, and then you go in his house. Cutscene starts.
I'm just thinking, technically, that's pretty impressive.
It is fucking cool. But I'm hearing this outside, and I know, like, I'm hearing the gunshots, like, 1, 2. I'm like, he shot my tire out. He's running around doing the other side. Sure enough, I come out, my fucking car.
On fire.
No. My car's fine. He smashed the windows out, and...
Stole your wallet. I'm sorry.
And he shot all the tires out. And when you start to drive, the tires blow, and then you're on rims, and it's impossible to drive.
Yeah.
And with GTA Online... You have one car. You can't just go around and steal other people's cars. Because if you steal any car on the street, every cop who sees you knows you stole that car. So you have a car that is your car.
Really?
Which is a very, very cool aspect of that game. Yeah. Because then you have to buy new cars, upgrades. Some of the upgrades are so fucking cool, too. You can get bulletproof tires, which are sweet.
Nice.
You get insurance on your car. So if someone steals it, you can call the insurance company and they'll deliver you a new car. Which is cool. But the coolest thing ever is this, explosive ignition. So if someone steals your car when you're not in it and turns it on, it blows up. So like you'll have a guy who tries to steal your car thinking he's slick, and the car fucking blows up. I seen that happen one time, and I was like in tears because I didn't even know what happened.
I would just place my car at like the busiest corner and just sit there and watch. I can't
wait to buy that. It's gonna be so funny.
This all sounds amazing.
But this guy, I'm hearing gunshots. I'm like, this motherfucker is shooting my tires out. So I come outside, and sure enough, my car is destroyed. I'm like, what a dick. But he left his car right next to mine. So, of course, I shoot the tires out on his car, and I'm hiding behind this barricade. And he comes out of the house, and I'm like, you're an asshole for doing this. So I kill him. And he spawns two blocks away, runs, kills me. And we did this for like a half an hour, back and forth. I kept killing him, and he would come after me. And like, this part of the game is kind of stupid, so I'm not completely sure on it yet. But then I did this other mission where your phone will ring, and it's just random shit. Like, random guys, like, needing help. And this one guy's like... you and someone else have to go pick up these two cars from this mansion. So I join this random thing. I have a guy join me. We get into my car, drive all the way across the city. And I was like, I didn't even know if he could hear me. I'm like talking. And then he gets in the car. I'm like, can you hear me? And he's just like, beep, beep on the horn. I was like, is that a yes? Beep, beep. I'm like, all right, sweet. So this guy hears me. And we get into both cars. And you have to steal them. Drive across the city back to a destination point. But as soon as you steal the cars, cops come after you. So we split up and go two different directions, which is awesome right off the bat. Like, he goes right, I go left. And then we're trying to get to the same destination point. So we're crossing intersections at the same time.
That's sweet.
And I fucking clipped his ass end. And it was the funniest thing. I was crying because he had this really, really fast sports car. And he was flying. And I clipped his ass end. And I see him doing fucking donuts down the road, like, and cops are chasing him, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. And then it was like, trying to get away from the cops for me was kind of a bitch, because like the area of the city was weird and it was really tight streets. But eventually I did, and we came to where we had to like bring it at the exact same time, like pulled into the parking lot from separate spots. I was like, nice. That couldn't have been choreographed better. And I was like, yeah. Alright, I'm hooked, this is fun as hell. And that's all I've been doing like all week.
You play with Tim yet?
Yeah.
Sounds, I haven't been on yet, nice. But I have it. I'm looking forward to playing with
it's
you guys.
It's fun. Like, Tim likes to play survival mode, which is exactly as like a horde mode from any other game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like wave one, whatever enemies come. Two, they have better guns. Three, enemies. They have better guns.
Hmm. Just like,
yeah, one of them's cops. Another one was hillbillies.
Huh.
But eventually helicopters come, and they're fucking really hard. Like, you die easily in GTA. You know that.
Yeah.
And they get pretty hard, but you get a lot of money if you do succeed.
I want so much from video games. I want the impossible.
Next gen is
like
gonna,
I, yeah, but I just want your mind, I sure. want missions to not be developed by the developer. I want them to be developed by the community.
We can do that with GTA.
But you can about like somebody has played so much that they've got all this money and all these cars, and a couple of new players get together and say, "We're raiding that guy's house."
You can do that.
No way. There's no way that's possible.
Yeah, you can own a house, and then that's that guy's house. You can go in and, like, I'm pretty sure you can just go and kill him and probably take money.
But what does that mean? Where's the weight?
Nothing. A house is still his. But could you... Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Like, I'm talking about... If there was a certain amount of money that had to be, like, put in your house and you could steal that, that'd be cool.
See, like, I think, you know, for instance, DayZ, I think that should eventually evolve into, like, a Walking Dead type situation where you've developed friendships and you have a safe house or a safe area, like the prison, yeah. And there's other people who have developed friendships and they have a safe house, like Woodbury or whatever it's called. Yep. And there's conflicts because both people are running out of food. And shit is going to go down between these two communities. That's what I want from video games. And I know that is never going to happen.
I wouldn't say never. It's not that hard of an aspect to...
I heard a story of a friend of my brother. This was years ago. He was talking about EverQuest.
Oh, no.
And how in EverQuest, like, you could, you know, raise your rank until the point where, like, you're a general. And people will come to you and be like, okay, what's my next move? What do you need from me? And you have to, like, tell them... We're raiding this castle, and
that's
like,
World of Warcraft.
And you need to
very well do that in World of Warcraft. You see somebody in some high ranking gear, and he's like, "We're gonna put a raid on Storm." Like, you've got your Horde cities, and then your Alliance cities, and the guy will be in a Horde city, just recruiting hundreds of people. Be like, at this time on this server, we're attacking.
That's madness.
Yeah,
that's hundreds. Wild.
Hundreds.
Really?
He was talking about in EverQuest, yeah. You have to like fight dragons, and you would. Assign people like to the front line. And it was like, and just like armies, and like it's first person. You're watching people that are all listening to you fly by you and like just running at this dragon. And then sure enough, the first just like everyone's that dead. first breath of fire, just people are just getting knocked out and archers.
I remember
I want so much
from Doug selling EverQuest to me. He's like, man, you can be a fucking chef. I'm gonna just get my cooking skill up all the way and be a chef for everybody in the city. I'm like, that sounds like the worst.
That sounds awesome.
Game.
Actually, Dan and Gotti used to play the Star Wars MMO. It was called Galaxies. Long before an Old Republic. And it was super hard. Like, if you saw somebody with a lightsaber, it was like that guy is a Jedi. We don't mess with Jedi. He's been playing every single day for probably 13 or 14 hours a day since the game came out. So Dan was talking about how aggressive it was and how it was so difficult to raise rank. And like, you've got these delusions like, oh, I'm going to be a bounty hunter. It's going to be great. But like, after, you know, 100 hours of playing the game, you realize you're just going to play in the band at the cantina. And like, you're just a guy earning money playing shows for people.
Doing shitty jobs. Like...
yeah. And
this is just like real life. God damn it. Yeah. I can't go anywhere.
He was just a musician who played gigs in Star Wars Galaxies. And they released this patch. Like, the game wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
And they released a patch that rapidly progressed every player to where everybody could just be a Jedi after maybe 50 hours.
I don't know.
And it just the game imploded.
It was like...
they just boom. Server's gone. Like, no one's playing this now. Like, they just fucked up. this brings me to a good point. I'm going to be getting a PC that I can play games on.
That's pretty neat.
Which is pretty exciting.
Don't play DayZ.
Well, you're...
I want to try DayZ. I want to try Old Republic.
You gotta buy Arma 2, which like...
$25.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, buy. I mean, you're talking about PC gaming here. No one's buying anything.
You have to buy it.
Yeah.
No.
Off of Steam.
No.
Yes.
How much is it?
$25. $24.99.
It's not that bad.
To play it one time and say
when we were at Kyle's, he said, when we were at Kyle's, he said, exactly, I will install DayZ for you. Do you have 1 gigabyte of RAM? You'll be able to run it. And I said, nah, I don't know.
It's bad. It's bad.
I still want to wait for the standalone.
I'm going to wait for the standalone. I'm not playing that. I'm not. There's too much other stuff.
I want to try. You know what? I might do it.
It sounds fun. I can't believe you would pick up DayZ over picking up like a used copy of GTA off of Kijiji for $30.
Listen, we talked about this in the Cove. Remember? We all got really excited for it. Chad kind of sold it to us.
Hold on. I've been pro DayZ for a long time.
Okay, yeah, but I was never against it. It sounded good from the podcast I heard you guys talk about.
I heard early accounts of like, oh, there's this new patch for Arma, and like, I think it might have been on joystick. They actually had the guy out there talking about the concept, and I was like, that sounds perfect. It's exactly what I wanted.
Having to eat and drink and
yeah, and just being a part of and having weight to your character. You don't want to die. You can't die.
Okay, yes, all of the ideas for that game are fantastic. It would make the best game, but it's so fucking broken. Just play it.
You know, we're like a broken record with this game.
It's broken, and it doesn't...
I feel like we should move on. You had a point to make?
Yeah, simply that as it sounds great, it's not as good as it sounds.
Thank you.
I think the problem with that game is simply it's trying to be too much like real life. Just like the game you described where you want to command a war. If you had no life, no job, no kids, no wife, no commitments, that game could exist because you could have a bunch of people playing it all day.
Emily!
Anyways, I don't think games, as cool as they sound, I don't think games like that work. They just require too much time. Games where you, it's too much like real life. What are you doing?
Being annoying on the microphone.
The very actual sanitary. Sucker. I was saying, move around your...
Oh, just that.
Just in the teeth?
That's good, sucker.
You're an asshole.
Sorry.
TJ, I'm sorry,
man. No, it's good. I'm done. It's dead.
It's dead. It's always been dead.
I don't know if... Do you have anything... Do you want to jump back to GTA?
No, but I'm really excited to play it, like, all weekend. I'm single again, unfortunately. It's Thanksgiving weekend, long weekend. I got no plans all weekend, so... Yeah. GTA. All
you know what?
Weekend.
A year ago, we did the music episode.
Yeah.
The one that we just rebroadcast.
I missed it.
It was not fun.
That was, like, I think, one of the first episodes I did miss, aside from the first episode.
Yeah. Actually, I have something musical. One of my favorite bands has a new CD today.
That's pretty neat.
Let's bring up the new single here. This band's called The Avett Brothers. And this is a new single.
It's a fake. It's a hoax. It's a nowhere road where no one goes anywhere. Anyhow, where you're following your heart rate down. She's a rose, she's a queen, but she's staring at a magazine in the dark, on that path where they doctor every photograph. Another is waiting, she isn't saying anything. If you care, if you like, well, I'm standing in the lantern with our weapons and our love, and I use them both to cover up. Another is waiting, she isn't saying anything.
There's 1 minute.
That was pretty neat.
1 minute of that song.
Oh, big news. Sunday, I'm going to see Avenged Sevenfold in concert.
Oh, this you won't shut up about that, babe.
Well, it's because it's the first time in my life I'm going to see, like, a big concert, right? Every show I've ever been to in my life has been, like, a show. This is my first concert. There's gonna be fucking pyrotechnics, crazy lighting, probably confetti, shit coming down on us. Hey, and it's in a stadium.
The show?
It's in an arena.
Is better.
We're going to the Detroit Electronic Music Festival next year.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Yes.
Every single year, I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna do it. And I've got other plans, like just minuscule plans. Like, no, I have this plan this weekend. And you can hear the festival happening
from across the sea
from across the border,
the Detroit Sea,
the ocean.
And I was listening to Justice Across the Universe. It's a live version of their CD Cross.
Yeah.
And the opening track, actually I'm gonna bring it up here. Doesn't sound amazing.
That would be so good.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to be front row. I want to be like 200 feet away from the stage with crowd in front of me, crowd behind me, everybody dancing, everybody having the best time ever. And like with the Electronic Music Festival, what I'm picturing is like we're there all day, a couple of cheap drinks, and we're having a good time. Sun goes down and it's like the headline band that plays while at night. And just like, you're ready to go. That's, oh, yeah. I cannot wait for that.
That's going to be awesome.
We have to do it.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm always down.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, we've gone through movies, gone through games.
Did you guys talk about Breaking Bad last week?
Yeah.
No, we haven't spoiled Breaking Bad at all. We talked about it off the record.
Chad spoiled it like crazy for all of us.
What was Chad's opinion of it?
Well, Chad didn't spoil it for all of us.
No, he spoiled it for all of us, not all of the listeners.
You and Kyle, he spoiled it for.
All of us.
Actually, Chad spoiled it, and now Kyle's not even going to watch.
I don't think I'll watch it either. I know everything that happens, and I'm like, oh, that's okay.
Well, you were spoiling Life of Pi for him, and Chad...
No, Kyle spoiled it.
Kyle spoiled Life of Pi, and Chad goes, fuck it. Boom, this guy, that guy. Just like literally spoiling everything he could. It was so funny.
Just like, oh, okay. Thank you, Chad.
It was so funny.
Just spoil rage.
I think he liked it.
Yeah, like the ending.
Of
Breaking Bad.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, like I was very pleased with it. It just the ending of a TV series that's so big can really change your opinion of it. You know what I mean? How you think of it, like, moving forward. I was just wondering, like, did it ruin it for him? Did you think it was awesome? Was it consistent with the series? I thought it was amazing.
Are you guys excited about Walking Dead coming back?
Moderately.
Yes.
This is the most excited I've been for Walking Dead coming back
ever. Yeah, good for ever. You.
No, two to three. Excited. 2 to 3 was amazing.
And I finally have AMC HD now. Which, you're a lucky man. Which very much excites me.
Very much so excites me.
Yeah, and I think it's at a... I mean, you were saying you enjoyed between season 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm less excited for season 4 versus how much I was excited for season 3.
I thought the ending of season two was. That's one thing for me.
First of all, I don't like Woodbury. I don't like this guy. I don't like this conflict between the two people. I feel like it's unrealistic the way they're acting. And this Woodbury guy, they're making him into like the supervillain.
Yeah.
I was excited about like the I don't want to call it, but just the introduction of Michelle before you got to know Michelle. I agree.
Michonne.
Is it actually Michonne?
Michonne.
That was when they first introduced her. It was like so mysterious. What is this chick? I read a little bit about it without spoiling. I found out she's from the comic book, which is really cool, I thought. Yeah. And I thought, like, the direction they're taking in, where it's more like, I don't know, like, less realistic almost, more like comic book-y, by having this weird, like, crazy thing happen. And then the prison, I thought both those were really exciting, whereas the Woodbury storyline, I'll give you this.
I can agree in that sense, where between 2 and 3, the first half of season 3, I found really, really, really exciting. I loved all of it. Second half, not so much, because they did focus on Woodbury, and I don't like...
Yeah.
It was just humans versus humans.
I love the fact that it was humans versus humans, but I wanted them to wrap up the Woodbury story and have some other kind of
story. I think they're going to do that.
Well, they did wrap up the Woodbury story. Woodbury has dissolved into the prison thing. Now, everyone who wasn't on the governor's side and realized the governor was this villain, you know, has joined Rick, and now they're like they're in the safe house of the prison. I think, like, season 2 was awesome. And, like, because season 2 exists, that's why I'm hooked on Walking Dead now. Because I loved season 2 so much. And season 3 just kind of adapted those characters in a new situation. You know, I mean, at that point, I was invested in those characters.
Yeah.
And now that Woodbury's over, that's kind of what gets me more excited again. Like, I don't know what the next conflict is. I know the governor's still around.
He's going to be dead. He has to be dead.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he might not even be in this season at all.
He will be.
You know, I wasn't excited about Walking Dead because I'd seen zombie movies and I'm not interested. Like, how many gross headshots can we get in an hour of television?
I like it.
With season 2, they dealt with, like, how are we going to get medicine? What happens when somebody gets hurt? How are we going to get food? What happens when someone, like, goes rogue and, like, oh, I need a drink?
I've said this
and
before.
Wants to go to the bar. Like, all that stuff goes down. And what happens when you meet strangers in this new world?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're hitting this exactly. I totally agree with you. I said before on the podcast, I believe that the certain like mentality and psychology created by post-apocalyptic worlds in general, and specifically like I really like zombie stuff, and that's exactly it. That's why I like the human versus human nature.
It's survival mode.
Yeah, now when you cross someone else on the street who's human, you have like this guarded, like, I might have to kill them. You know what I mean? Some people say, I'm just going to kill them to be not killed. Some people are going to say, I'm going to hide. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and
I love that.
Season 2 dealt with a lot of that. Season 3, not so much. Season 3 was... more like who's got the stronger safe hold.
First half was completely Rick's mental breakdown.
Yeah,
I liked that a lot.
That was really cool too.
Like, wow.
Again, something that Gravity could have used a little bit more was like let's get it more into the mind of the main character.
Right.
That's a 4.5 for me.
Some of those episodes, Walking Dead.
But yeah, that
I
was
would
it.
Need to rewatch all of it.
It's on Danflix.
You know what pisses me right off? I bought it on Blu-ray.
Watch it on Blu-ray. Do not watch it on Danflix. If you have it on Blu-ray...
I get some bad resolution sometimes for no reason. It'll just drop.
It's when I'm signing on.
Like, I was watching How I Met Your Mother last night, and it was like I was watching, like,
380p.
They were like...
They made up a resolution just for that.
It was like...
120p.
Or 340, whatever it is. It was 3-something.
Probably 320.
Shut the fuck up, smartass.
Is that probably
360? How about that one? If it's 1080p, it's 360. Let's go that way.
Divide by 3.
Yeah. All right.
No? But either way,
that's wrong.
It was like 8 pixels the whole fucking screen. Like, what am I watching right now? Oh my god. Yeah, I'm gonna watch it on Blu-ray. But I'm pissed that I spent $60 on a Blu-ray or $55 or whatever, and then I get an email like 3 days later. Oh yeah, season 3 of Walking Dead is now on Netflix. I'm like, Fuck.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Anytime you buy anything, it better be for the collection and not for the availability of having
it. It is for the collection. I love it.
It has to be. Otherwise, shame on you.
I have two. I don't have one because it was like $50. And I was like, I'm not spending $50 on a six-season episode.
Oh.
Whoa. Six-episode season.
We might not have much time to talk about this, but the spinoff that's on AMC? So what it is they hired the comic book writer to write screenplays, or for TV, scripts for a new series that is on the same planet, in the same universe.
Different characters?
Different characters entirely.
Oh.
What I'm worried about is, do I really want two? Do I want two versions of Walking Dead? I want all of the focus being put on the show that I like now.
Two seasons of that show and then intertwine.
Yeah. No. That's what they want to do.
That's what they want you to think, so you're watching both at all times.
I don't know. I think that would be a great idea.
I think it sucks, though. I'm invested in the show as it is now.
Okay.
And now they're hiring the original author to pen...
Kirkman,
you know,
or whatever?
Whoever he is. To pen the new series. And he's talking about, like... Oh, you know what? Like, I've had time to realize my flaws, like, in those characters. I wrote those characters when I was 24. Now I'm 34. And, like, you know, I'm really going to buckle down and make sure I do it right this time. It's like, what about the show and the universe that already exists? Like, are you bailing on that?
I still think it'd be amazing because there's the Walking Dead games, the Telltale games, where it's in the Walking Dead world with completely different characters. And I was just as invested into that story. And that's only a game.
Here's the only
two different shows. Not you have to.
Right. Okay, but one they better not be on at the same time. One better end. Not. One better end, and then the other one starts. Like one's fall and one is summer.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would be the best. That would be the best bet because
that would be awesome because you have
Walking Dead for a year. Yeah.
Yeah, AMC is like going insane now because Breaking Bad's done. They're talking about spinoffs of that. Walking Dead is their only horse because Mad Men got their final season
because no one's watching it anymore.
Which is too bad. That's the best show on TV.
Slow. It's too much of a slow.
All good things must come to an end.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad that they are going to end it instead of dragging it on.
Yep.
Yeah.
My opinion, it should be more like a British television where you get like a series of three, and you better have a beginning, middle, and end.
Yep.
Not U.S. where it's really
we can
successful.
Make money on that.
Yeah, it's really successful. Let's add another four seasons, and it's like the original concept is gone. But hey, we got some good TV coming.
Yeah.
And with that, thanks for listening to the general roundtable episode of All Range Mode. My name is Joe.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jip.
All Range Mode out.
All Range Mode.
All Range Mode.
Out. Cocky little freaks.
Did I not say mode?